תפילת החברים. בורא יקר, תן לנו את
prayer of the friends. Dear Creator, give us the power of adhesion with you, with a new heart, and in the new connection together with the friends, we will feel the heart made of flesh instead of the stony heart. And through this new common heart, we will find ourselves united in love with all the friends in the world kli, with love towards you, the Creator.
Let's go.
Rabash
article, what does everything that comes to be a burnt offering is meal mean in the work? It is written in the Zohar, if his offering is a burnt offering. Rabbi Chiya started, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. The thought of the Creator is superior and the beginning of everything. And from that thought, ways and paths extend to devise the holy name. And from that thought emanate the written Torah and the oral Torah, which is Malchut. Man's thought is the beginning of everything. Ways and paths extend from that thought to divert one's ways in this world and in the next world. And from that thought emerges the filth of the evil inclination to harm oneself and all others. Also, transgressions, sins, and evil doings come from that thought, as well as idolatry, incest, and bloodshed. It is written about that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. In item 73 it says, everything that comes to be a burnt offering is male and not female. Since the burnt offering rises, and offering spelled same in Hebrew. Since the burnt offering rises over the heart, meaning on the thought, which is above the heart, and since the thought, which is chokhmah, wisdom, is regarded as male, and the heart as female, meaning binah, understanding, as in the heart understands. We should understand what is the thought of the Creator in the work and what is the thought of man in the work, of which the writing says, according to what is written in the Zohar, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. We should also understand what it implies to us when we say a burnt offering is male, since it atones for the thought, which is male. What does this imply to us in the work, so we will know how to behave? It is known that although the purpose of creation is to do good to His created beings, for the created beings to receive delight and pleasure, in order to bring to light the perfection of His deeds, a correction was done, called tzimtzum, restriction, and concealment, on the delight and pleasure. And since all created beings were created with a desire to receive delight and pleasure, it follows that man cannot do anything unless he knows he can receive delight and pleasure from that thing. Otherwise, he cannot make a single move, since it will contradict the root of the created beings. Sometimes when a person does act, although he derives no pleasure from these actions, it is because he knows that by this, he will receive delight and pleasure later. which he will be given in return for his work, meaning for the actions he took and in which he took no pleasure. Only because of the pleasure he will receive after the work, this gives him strength to do the work, from which he does not enjoy at the moment, but will in the future. Yet, if the reward is not certain, he no longer has power to work when he does not enjoy it. For example, a mother feeds her children. Although it is work to buy the groceries and prepare them for eating, and she also feeds them, we should discern two actions here. One, actions she would rather give up, and two, actions she does not intend to give up. Meaning, by buying groceries and preparing them for eating, she would give that up. We see that among the rich, they have people who buy the groceries for them, and there is a chef to cook. This shows that the mother can do without them. But the mother, looking at the children eating, although while looking at the children eat, the mother does not eat, but in that state, she gives up on herself, but she enjoys seeing the children eat. And it will never occur to the mother to think, what do I get out of watching the little children eat? She does not want the next world for this, or this world, since she derives pleasure from this act. So she needs no reward. Hence, if the taste in Torah and mitzvot, commandments or good deeds, were revealed, as our sages said, that the 613 mitzvot are called 613 pkudin, deposits, as explained in the Sulam. In each mitzvah, there is a single light that shines in it. And if this were revealed, and they would not have to believe it, the whole world would engage only in Torah and mitzvot. However, since a concealment was placed on the delight and pleasure, and it is not revealed before a person is rewarded with vessels of bestowal, thus there are disturbances from the side of the body, which cries out, why do you want to go against the nature with which the Creator created man in, to receive the light and pleasure? And you want to give this up? Although a person promises the body that it will be rewarded, in that it observes the commandments of the Torah, meaning that it will be rewarded, the body seemingly asks, in what vessels will I receive this reward? In vessels of reception or vessels of bestowal? At that time, if the person says to it, you will receive the reward in vessels of reception, the body asks, why did the Creator give us so many commandments? After all, He is a merciful Father and is good and does good. So why does He not give us all the reward He wants to give for observing all 613 mitzvot in return for observing half of the 613 mitzvot? Why does He mind if He gives the full reward for observing a small part of the Torah and mitzvot? Also, why do we need to work so hard to observe the full 613 mitzvot? This is similar to the allegory about the mother who feeds her children with food and drink, but she must buy the groceries and cook them and so forth, which she would rather forego. And what does she not forego? Is that she sees and observes how her children eat. And the little children, she feeds herself and enjoys it. She does not want to relinquish this work, since she enjoys the work itself and does not need any reward for this work. We therefore have two things. One, it is not so far from the intellect. That is, one who wants to receive reward in vessels of reception, but asks, why the Creator wants us to observe so many mitzvot, meaning that He should have given all the reward He wants to give for observing half of the 613 mitzvot, since there is no pleasure in the work He is doing, but rather in the reward he will receive afterward. And this is regarded as receiving reward in the next world. That is, during the work, he feels no pleasure. And the only reason he wants to work is for the reward that will come later.
Two.
We can discern in the reward that he wants to receive the reward in vessels of bestowal, meaning to have love of the Creator and to feel that he is serving the King. It follows that he hopes to receive a reward, and he will receive this reward later in vessels that are in this world, meaning in the present. Then, when he is rewarded with 613 pkudin, when he receives each mitzvah in this manner, in the manner of this world, he does not say, why were we given so many mitzvot? Likewise, in the corporeal world, there is no one who is angry at the Creator for preparing for us so many corporeal pleasures. In the same way, when he is rewarded with 613 pkudin, at that time, he feels in each mitzvah a different taste and does not intend to relinquish it. But there is a big flaw here. While working in the form of 613 counsels, meaning when the Torah and mitzvot are only tips that concern how to receive the vessels of bestowal, since the body's resistance is intense, because it is completely against his will to receive with which man is born. It follows that they, work and reward, are two separate discernments. Meaning, when the reward is in vessels of reception, he has fuel because he can receive reward. However, he always has exertion, since the reward he receives is in the next world, meaning not now, but some other time. And when he comes, he will receive reward. In other words, he looks at the reward he will receive later. It follows that he would be happier if he received a greater reward for less work, since he is looking at the reward. It turns out that he always has exertion, because to him, The reward is the reason that compels him to engage in Torah and Mitzvot. This is similar to the corporeal world, when we are paid for the work. Then the work is only a means. And if he could receive the reward for less work, certainly each one would choose a place that gives more reward for less work. Conversely, when a person is rewarded with vessels of bestowal, the concealment and tzimtzum are placed on the Torah and Mitzvot, are lifted from him, and he is rewarded with 613 pkudin, deposits. That is, in each mitzvah that he performs, he obtains the taste in the mitzvah. It follows that the reward is in this world, meaning in the present state that a person is in. Certainly, it cannot be said that a person should relinquish the work, since the work itself is the place to receive the reward. It follows that in vessels of bestowal, the 613 mitzvot are considered rest and not work and labor. And according to the above, we should interpret what the Zohar says about the verse, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." And we asked, what does this imply to us in the work when it says that ways and paths extend from the thought of the Creator to devise the Holy Name? Whereas, from the thought of man extend the filth of the evil inclination to harm oneself and all others. Also, transgressions, sins, and evil doing come from that thought, as well as idolatry, incest, and bloodshed. The text says about this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." The thought of the Creator refers to the thought of creation, which is to do good to His created beings. That is, He wants only to bestow abundance upon the created beings. For this reason, the Torah and Mitzvot that He has given us to do, we must say that His intention is not that we will give Him this work and He will accept it. After all, His desire is only to bestow. This is why He says that from the thought of the Creator, ways and paths extend to devise the Holy Name. We should understand the meaning of to devise the Holy Name. According to what we learn, the purpose of creation is to do good to His created beings. It follows from this that the Holy Name of the Creator is the good who does good, because that name is hidden from the created beings as long as they do not have the vessels of bestowal. And thus, we were given the Torah and Mitzvot as etin, meaning counsels, by which to obtain the vessels of bestowal. And as our sages said, the light in it reforms him. It follows that our work in Torah and Mitzvot is not because he needs us to observe his mitzvah, his commandment. Rather, the created beings observe his mitzvot. For by this, the created beings correct themselves so they can be rewarded with vessels of bestowal. This is the meaning of what is written, to devise the Holy Name. For by this, each one will feel that the name of the Creator is the good who does good. From man's thought extend the filth of the evil inclination, because man, who is a created being, existence from absence, thinks only about how to receive and not to bestow. And although this is the root of man, concealment and tzimtzum, restriction, were placed on that will to receive, which is why the evil inclination extends from this thought in man. In other words, when a person must perform acts of bestowal in order to have dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, called equivalence of form, that desire then depicts to a person depictions that he will suffer by giving of his strength to others. Therefore, when a person wants to observe Torah and Mitzvot with the aim to bestow and not receive anything that concerns his own benefit, then this thought depicts to him how he will suffer. And with that power of depiction, it prevents a person from achieving dvekut, adhesion with the Creator. This is the meaning of the words, from that thought emerges the filth of the evil inclination. As Bala Sulam said, about what our sages said, the serpent came over Eve and cast filth within her. He said that Zuhama, filth, is Zuma. What is this? Meaning that in every matter of Kedusha, holiness, the serpent, which is the evil inclination, comes out and says to a person, what is this? Meaning, what will you get out of wanting to work and do everything for the sake of the Creator and not for your own sake? It follows that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, meaning that the thought of the Creator is to bestow, while the thought of man is only to receive. Now we can understand what we asked. What does it imply to us when the Zohar says that a burnt offering is male, since it atones for the thought, which is male, since a thought is chokmah and is considered male, and the heart, which is bina, understanding, is female, as in the heart understands. Our sages said, the eye sees and the heart covets. We should understand what the eye implies. It is known that eyes are called chokmah, wisdom, meaning thought. And the thought is considered male. It is said about it in the Zohar that when a person must take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, this faith that a person believes is called the aspect of mind. That thought impacts the heart. And then the heart begins to covet this thing that came as a thought in his mind. In that sense, the eye is called a thought. The wisdom, what he sees and likes, is what he gives to the heart. Hence, the heart covets the thing that is in the mind. According to the above, the thought of the Creator is to bestow. We should interpret about this, as our sages said, know what is above you, an eye that sees. We should interpret that man should know what is above him, meaning what is above his thought. But there is the thought of creation, the thought of the Creator there, which is called an eye that sees. As it says in the Zohar, that eye is called thought, and thought is called wisdom, which is male. As we learned, the light of Chokhmah comes from the giver to the receiver. Hence, man must resemble the eye of above and be a giver to the Creator. This is called equivalence of form, and it is called faith in the Creator. It is called mind, meaning a thought that man should be in equivalence of form with the Creator. This is as it is written in the essay, a speech for the completion of the Zohar. Similarly, all your actions will be to bestow and to benefit others. And then thus, you will equalize your form with the form of the qualities of the Creator. And this is spiritual dvikut, adhesion. There is a discernment of mind and a discernment of art in the above-mentioned equivalence of form. The engagement in Torah and mitzvot in order to bestow contentment upon one's maker is equivalence of form in the mind. This is because the Creator does not think of himself, whether he exists or whether he watches over his created beings and other such doubts. Similarly, one who wishes to achieve equivalence of form must not think of these things as well, when it is clear that the Creator does not think of them, since there is no greater disparity of form than that. Hence, anyone who thinks of such matters is certainly separated from him. It therefore follows that if a person believes in know what is above you, the eye sees. Know means dat, knowledge, and dat means connection and dvikut, adhesion, which is above you, an eye that sees, meaning that the eye of the Creator, which is chokhmah, wisdom, and know, refers to dvikut, adhesion, meaning when a person adheres to above you, which is the mind, meaning faith. According to the rule, the eye sees and the heart covets, meaning that the thought, which is male, gives to the heart, which is coveting and desire, then as the thought, which is faith, has equivalence with the Creator, then the heart too, which is the will to receive, does not want to use its own quality, which is reception, but rather to be influenced by the thought and wants to be a giver like the thought. It follows that if a person is complete with the equivalence of form in the mind, this influences the heart, in order that the heart too will be as in all your works will be for the sake of the Creator. This is as we explained about what our sages said. Anyone in whom there is fear of heaven, his words are heard. This means that anyone who assumes the burden of the kingdom of heaven, which is faith, the body hears his words, meaning that the entire body obeys his voice for the above reason, that if the thought is faith above reason, equivalence of form, then the thought, which is male, influences the heart, which is female. As it is written, the heart understands. This is the meaning of what the Zohar says, Bina is the heart, and she is female.
לכן אם עולה קורבנו הוא זכר.
Therefore, if it is a burnt offering, it is male. He says that the reason is that a burnt offering comes to atone for the thought, which is male. Chokhmah. That is, if a person sinned, meaning blemished his thought, which is faith above reason, then he must correct what he has blemished. And since faith is discerned as the eye sees, which is wisdom of above, meaning that the thought of the Creator is His desire to do good to His created beings, meaning to bestow upon the lower ones, and that person blemished this, meaning that he does not believe that there is a leader to the world who watches over the created beings as the good who does good. And the man must praise and thank the Creator. If a person does not believe that the Creator is the giver, called male, the person must bring a male offering, which is its corresponding discernment, which he blemished. For this reason, the blemish of the thought is very serious, since this is the whole matter of the purpose of creation. When a person does not believe this, it is regarded that he sinned and blemished the thought and must make the correction in the same discernment. According to the above, we should interpret what the Zohar says about the words, if his offering is a burnt offering, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And he says, also the written Torah and the oral Torah, which is Malchut, were emanated from that thought. We should interpret that in the work, Malchut means the kingdom of heaven, which is faith, while oral Torah is called Torah. In other words, that it is impossible to be rewarded with the Torah if one has not been rewarded with faith. As our sages said, it is forbidden to teach idol worshippers the Torah. But once he has been rewarded with faith, he can be rewarded with the Torah. This is the meaning of the words, from that thought, meaning from the thought of creation, which is to do good to his created beings, extend from that faith and Torah. That is, the fact that we were given faith, where everyone asks why he placed a concealment on his guidance, and we need faith for this. The answer is that this too is in order to do good to his created beings, called in order to bring light the perfection of his deeds. It follows that when we are adhered to his thought, we have everything. This is unlike what man's thought says, but from that thought emerges transgressions, sins, and evil deeds, as it is written, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Therefore, man must exert to focus all his work on being only in dvekut, adhesion, with his thought, and believe that he watches over the world as the good who does good. When he has this faith, he will be rewarded with everything.
Thank you, Rav.
Rav, you tell us all the time that we need to learn from children how to behave with the Creator. We look, as it says here, about how a mother gives food to her children, how she enjoys from it. Why is it so hard for us to receive from the Creator what He wants to give us to eat, right? It's the best food, and just enjoy it like kids.
Concealment. Concealment. We don't see, we don't understand, it is not revealed. If it were revealed, then everyone would be complete righteous.
So how each time do we reveal this concealment? Only through connection with friends?
This is why all of our work is to remove the concealment.
And how exactly do we do that?
Any group?
There is no more.
So my thoughts, as he says in the end, take my thoughts and to reach equivalence of form with the thought of the Creator, that as He wants to bestow good to us, that's how I need to be with the friends?
Yes.
נשמע מהמאמר שהשליטה על הלב היא דרך
We hear from the article that control of the heart is utilizing the mind, thoughts, faith. We also learn that after our heart follows our actions. Are these complementary?
Yes, they're complementary. If a person performs many actions in a certain manner, then from the deed, it is also extended to the heart, habits, and so on.
Can we also say this, that a person is adhered to the ten, it completes his heart and mind? The actions that are related to both understanding.
אני לא הבנתי איך אפשר ליהנות מעבודה ולא מעשה.
I didn't understand how we could enjoy from the work instead of the reward.
מביא לדוגמה אמא שמאכילה את הילדים.
כן.
He gives the example of the mother who feeds the kids.
Yes. So in the effort itself, she derives pleasure when she feeds them.
Because
she has love for the children. But we who haven't yet been privileged, right, with love, to enjoy from the work and not the reward.
So we need to get from the environment importance for the work, and try to carry it out as much as possible. And out of that, we will have a little bit of the light of pleasure. And this is how we will learn that in actions of bestowal we get pleasure.
Ken.
Rav,
he says there that until you have faith, then you have nothing really that is connected to the Creator. Just the thoughts of the created being that we're familiar with. So what is faith?
Faith?
It's
the force that gives me the possibility to bestow, even though there is no foundation for it.
What's the difference between faith and the sensation in the heart? What separates between them?
The
feeling in the heart. This is already seemingly a fact. It exists already. In my senses, seemingly. Whereas faith is when I haven't yet reached the actual sense.
ובכל זאת יש כאילו סדר, קודם להגיע לאמונה ואחר כך ל...
And yet still there is an order, right? First to reach faith and then sensation.
אז איך זה שהמצב הזה שהוא נקרא אמונה הוא מנותק מהרגשה? איך יכול להיות...
So how, how is the state faith? How can it be disconnected from our sensation?
זה עדיין לא התפשט ברצון לקבל.
It still hasn't expanded into the will to receive.
ולכן
and therefore we have that forces and discernments, however
לא מספיק.
It's still not enough in order for us to work with it.
אם אנחנו מתחברים, אם אנחנו,
if we connect, if we support each other, then our force of faith grows and it shifts from the degree of faith to the degree of
another question. He says it's up to a person to focus all his work on being only in dvikut, adhesion with his thought, and believe that he watches over the world as the good who does good. And when he has this faith, he will be rewarded with everything. So why, as it says here, why must we focus all our work on this, that the Creator is the good who does good, and not how I equalize with him? Shouldn't the thought be about how I equalize a form with the Creator? Why does he say to focus on this, that the Creator is the good who does good?
Because by that you change your relation to the Creator, even on the degrees that you had before and also now. That everything that you are being operated, it's all being operated by the good and done good, does good, who is the Creator.
Final question, he says, the Creator doesn't think about whether he's bestowing to his created beings, and as such, we shouldn't also have such thoughts.
We shouldn't. We shouldn't think that whether we're bestowing or not bestowing, we should simply connect so that our action will be complete. So we won't be thinking about the action, but rather about the
למה אם אנחנו מתחברים ותומכים זה בזה, אז כוח חיים.
Why, if we connect and support one another, does our force of faith grow?
Because we connect in the forces of faith in each one, in the forces of bestowal in each one.
מה ההבדל בין כוח האמונה לכוח ההשפעה?
What's the difference between force of faith and bestowal?
אפשר להגיד שאם
you could say that indeed if it's truly a force, then it is the same. It is carried out through an action, an act of bestowal.
כן, בנצי.
Yes, בנצי.
על איזה פעולות שאנחנו עושים שורי צמצום והסתר?
What actions the way perform controls the concealment and restriction.
Upon which actions there is concealment and restriction?
Upon
actions that stem from our will to receive, which are the opposite of the Creator. There the Creator is not present, and therefore there there is no upper light. These actions do not shine.
So let's say
we came to the morning lesson, did some action. What were we seemingly supposed to receive but didn't?
It is all according to the intention. It is all according to the intention.
אני לא מבין את הרעיון הזה, לא קיבלתם שכר.
I don't understand this idea that you didn't receive reward. Because of this, something else begins to develop. What am I expecting to receive but didn't receive?
You have to expect to receive a reward, payment. That for your correct action, you will get something from the Creator. Because he created this field of work for you, and he wants you to carry out this work and get a reward. And the reward is what you choose. So what reward do I want?
So,
still, I'm expecting some reward. Let's say, I get some reward, let's say, for getting here, for coming here, one form or another. What's concealed?
From whom do you receive it?
From myself. I don't know, the environment, the study, there's some satisfaction. There's something that I come here with and I continue on with. But what is concealed from me that if it was revealed, then I would covet it so much and that would prevent me from reaching correction. The vessels of reception couldn't be corrected in such a situation. What's this whole debate around?
There is no debate or discussion here. People are asking about reward and punishment, about the work or the exertion and its reward. If you have no question about that, fine.
That's what I'm looking for, something that's constant in each and every article. That is, he always opens up with, there's concealment and restriction, and thus we have this whole process. So I don't understand the beginning.
The Creator made a concealment so that we, through our labor, will chase away this concealment. We will cancel it. Meaning, how do we cancel it? The concealment doesn't go away, but rather we, in spite of the concealment, we discover above the concealment what we are able to do through our connection, in spite of our pride and ego. And this is how we reach connection, nevertheless, and the result of the connection is that we discover the purpose of creation.
So
where's the change that occurs by us, that we come with some expectation with, and suddenly,
through our efforts, through the efforts, you draw the reforming light, and it reveals to you the true system that you exist in. Please.
Yes. He writes here that when a person wants to do Torah mitzvot on the intention to bestow, he has some thoughts that come to him and gives him some bad depiction which prevents him from reaching adhesion. So, if we want to perform these actions to adhere to the friends, and we get these thoughts to give us some bad depiction and prevents us from advancing towards these actions, then where is our ability to act here?
When you make efforts, even though you feel these forces of rejection, to get closer to the friends, to get closer to the Creator, to draw reforming light, to discover what is truly happening in the thought of creation. All of these things, you do them forcefully, and then out of that, according to your efforts, the reforming light comes to you.
And when I do these efforts by force, right, the thought awakens and gives me some bad depiction. How out of this thought can I continue to act in the same direction still? because if the effort I work with was in direction of connection, and then I suddenly got this depiction that it's bad for me, harming me, how will I have the power to continue?
Did you connect with the friends?
Make the effort.
I try. Well, if you will try and connect, you will see how much in your efforts you will receive a fundamental change, an essential change.
In what?
You will begin to feel additional forces that go along with you and complete you.
And I will still need to make an effort against the thoughts? Or can I use these forces?
You'll be able to use these forces. It's like when you, let's say, if you read about some problem in mathematics, or it doesn't matter in what, and you sit together and you discuss it. So each one adds something, another adds something, until you begin to scrutinize it more and more, and until you solve the problem. Here, it is the same. You're right.
I also wanted to ask that during the preparation, our attitude to the concept of sacrifice, we don't truly understand so much what it means to sacrifice something dear for us, let's say. It's an action that's more in our mind or in our heart or sensation.
It's very much in the feeling, but also in the mind, in the intellect. It means that I am willing to give up on something that is very precious to me. And then I discover that if I will give it up, I will get closer to the friends, and I will be able to scrutinize with them things that are more internal. This is a sacrifice, an offering.
And after such a scrutiny, then the check, the intention is strong?
Yes, of course. If I have given up something which was precious for me, according to the measure of my concession, I got closer to the friend. And then I have the ability to scrutinize together with him things that are more essential. The most important is that a group that comes together, when they gather, they all search for in what way can I now give up something for the benefit of my friends in the group so that we will feel ourselves even closer to each other. And here is all of their work. It's very important and also very productive.
Friends sometimes have very strong opposition, sometimes even in the lesson. To connection with the friends, you really feel a rejection towards connection. It's hard for you to sit in your chair
because they did not make the right preparation.
Okay. And you explained now that the sacrifice is truly sacrificing from oneself.
Not from himself, but rather that we sacrifice him. And then we get closer to each other, heart to heart, and this is how we feel ourselves, that we can see more and more see ourselves as one.
In
the article, he speaks about a sacrifice that's rising, that's covering for the transgression that he made a flaw in faith above reason. Why does we get then sometimes the sensation that to get closer to the friends, I need to truly annul myself and go above reason?
In any case, you have to annul yourself to some extent.
So this correction of faith above reason, we seemingly come as a ten. There's the corporeal ten, right? We want to enter inwards to the more internal ten, where there's a deeper action. In the ten, through this action?
Yes.
In the article, he also talks about, right, the mother who makes the effort to buy all the groceries and make food and feed the kids, and she observes how the children are eating and doesn't even think about herself. She enjoys from the pleasure of the kids. How can each friend in the ten reach such a degree? Because we don't have the same natural love like a mother. But it seems that there is some nearing here.
Through examples that each one gives the others. An example like a mother.
And it's also in the internal action of a person towards the ten that he can truly enjoy from this that the friends are connecting?
Yes. Or what can they give up on for the sake of others?
Right.
So what should one give up on? Should he relinquish?
On himself? He needs to move himself aside in something to make room for the Creator, for the friends, for the group.
It's based on the force of bestowal.
You need to be connected with all the friends in the group and raise a prayer to the Creator together. And then you'll receive assistance from Him to realize.
No.
Well, so what's the issue here? To make the effort to fill the heart together with the friends, to make the effort. Our efforts are what make all the difference. Of course, we cannot do correction, but we need to give the effort for correction. And then, accordingly, the Creator, as it says, will finish for me.
Dear Rav, to offer and burn everything that comes, it is our work to elevate to the Creator. Do we need to offer and burn for Him all our thoughts, all our desires? Thank you.
Translation?
Again, in order to get closer to the Creator, do we have to seemingly sacrifice all the thoughts that arise in us?
We need to sacrifice all our egoistic thoughts and in their place to receive thoughts of connection with the friends and the Creator.
Yes.
That's called sacrifice because by them, mitkarvim, we get close. Kiev
1.
What is the Creator's thought? And how do we adhere to the Creator's thought, as it says in the article?
In our intention.
What is that? What is the Creator's thought?
It's a force that created and maintains and corrects all of reality. In one thought, everything was made, and this one thought brings everything which are created to the end of correction. Moscow 1.
Да-да. Извините, просто когда мы говорим про мысль, то мы как бы подразумеваем какое-то действие разума, мозга. А что
it's
такое
just that when we speak of a thought, we're seemingly talking about some act of our brain, our intellect. So what is the creator's thought? What do you...
Намерение. Аз натхил лекро.
All right, so let's start reading.
Let's start. Selected excerpts from the sources on the topic of reforming the heart. Chabash writes, first excerpt. A person who is born with the will to receive and wants to correct it into working in order to bestow, since this is against nature, he is only one counsel. Only the light of Torah can invert him into working in order to bestow. As it is written, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice, and the light in it reforms the heart. It is said that evil is receiving for oneself, and good is when his heart is only about bestowal and not receiving.
Haifa
1.
We should bring to the convention my concern. What am I giving to the friends? What is my part? How do I not miss out?
That's strong words he's saying. What do I give the friends? What am I giving? Anything they need and not to leave anything with me. Nothing to myself. Yeah, Chupchik.
What can the ten give to the world, Klee? At the convention or toward it.
The ten is part of the world kli, and it must be as a healthy core to give it a foundation that upon it they are willing that everyone can stand and strengthen and hold on and aim themselves correctly to the purpose of creation.
How do we bring ourselves to that state? And what does it do?
We make of our ten, the ten friends. It can be 8, it can be 12, it doesn't matter. But when they're connected in a way that they're sure that they can reach, with the Creator's help, to the goal, to attain such a connection that the upper light can clothe in them and draw towards them all the rest of the parts of the world kli.
And should we feel some results in the world kli to see some changes?
We want to attain in our vessel, in our ten, a result that we every time become more and more a central ten that around it all of reality can exist. And we are expecting the Creator to clothe in us.
Final question. It feels like we have to give the world clay some force, but
example and bestowal.
How is it expressed? In what way?
משתדלים
that
we try to be in mutual bestowal, mutual support. We want to advertise in all directions what it means to be connected as one man with one heart, and what the Creator is demanding of us.
Everyone.
But
the question is, how can I hug everyone in this convention?
I think that the main thing is to be in heart and soul with the whole world kli, try to explain to them, to bring them closer, to give them an example. That's something you can do. And in this way, we advance. I'm very happy that many friends from Turkey are coming.
I also wanted to ask, what I feel today is that we don't know what privilege we've been given, truly. So all the lessons, the convention, Passover, Shavuot, the states, we received, so we are advancing. This is what I feel. But I also see that there are friends who feel despair.
Despair is felt in the vessels of reception. Advancement is felt in the vessels of bestowal. If we're talking about the right discernments, true discernment is that advancing in bestowal, and the opposite in reception. So let's hope that we, until the Congress, will prepare ourselves and scrutinize that even more. We are waiting for everybody. Come and we'll connect and scrutinize it all. Yep.
Number two.
Exit number two. If they are learning Torah in order to correct the heart, these are called wise-hearted, since everything is named after its action. For this reason, the Torah they learn with this intention is called wise-hearted and not wise-minded, since they need the Torah in order to correct the heart.
That means that we need to check and learn and measure as much as our heart changes through our studies. That the study, our studies mean all actions we do around the intention to reform the heart, to correct the desire, that upon our will to receive, the will to bestow will grow, meaning that we'll have a restriction on the will to receive, a screen, reflected light, and that from that same will to receive, we can do actions of bestowal. That's what we expect. Okay?
Ken.
Yeah?
It says, therefore, the Torah that they learn with this intention is called wise-hearted and not wise-minded. What are wise-hearted?
That's that through the Torah that we learn about, that's called the light that reforms, that it has to correct our heart. Our heart is entirely the will to receive in order to receive, that it will gradually reach the desire to bestow, and then to the desire to receive in order to bestow.
With what prayer should we come to the convention in order to change our hearts?
You still have time. Start putting together your prayers. Let them be a lot of prayers. Just gather them, throw them into some box, some virtual box, and see.
Yeah?
I would make from all these actions also maybe a competition or something. Whose prayer is wins the
Mishofet.
Amit.
Who would judge?
Amit.
Shalosh Kotev Bala Sulam.
Number three, Bala Sulam writes, one cannot correct one's thought, but should only aim the heart, make one's heart straight to the Creator. Then all of his thoughts and actions will naturally be to bestow contentment upon his Maker. When he corrects his heart to be a heart and desire of Kedusha, holiness, the heart will then be a vessel in which to place the upper light. And when the upper light shines in the heart will grow stronger and will add and supplement continuously. Now we can interpret our sage's words, great is the learning that yields action. It means that through the light of the Torah, he is led into action as the light in it reforms him. This is called an act. This means that the light of the Torah builds a new structure in his heart.
Questions? Questions, yes.
What is an intention for the Creator? A heart that works for the sake of the Creator.
What does the Creator want of us? That we will be as one man with one heart, all connected, and then in that common vessel, we can bestow to it. That in that we think of bringing him a vessel for pleasure, and he wants to bestow and fill that vessel that we will have pleasure from him. And then we connect one another, the Creator and the created beings.
Is the intention from us, or does he give us the
intention from us towards the vessel and receiving from the Creator towards us?
So our task is to prepare the vessel.
Ellen, you're embarrassed?
A person cannot correct the thoughts, but should only aim the heart.
Yeah, you have to aim it towards correction as much as possible, towards connection.
How can one aim one's heart?
Together with the friends.
In other words, what is the role of the thought in aiming the heart?
The thought aims the heart.
This is why it's not clear here, the instruction. Practically, if a person wants to aim his heart, he has to do it. He has to start with a thought, no?
Yeah.
So what does it mean that he says a person cannot correct the thought, but only the heart?
Yeah.
From France, does the vessel develop every second toward correction through the common effort of all attents?
Actually, yeah, but it's not enough. Does the vessel itself make the effort to help itself and everybody advance?
Women in Moscow, why does the Creator give weak and ineffective states.
What, how? I don't understand. The Creator gives you exactly according to our degree and our abilities.
Another question from the women in Moscow. Does reforming, does bringing the heart back to the source is to returning the expanded desire to bestow?